If I want to get ahead, I'm going to have to push to get there. But Jesus says, if you want to get ahead, you have to humble yourself. And that just doesn't look right. Dana and I have been watching TV, and you know, she's in bed so much because of her condition right now. And we started watching Empires, a series on empires. And it's obvious that one of the things that is most glaring, it doesn't matter what kingdom, it doesn't matter what culture, it doesn't matter what age, what anything. The person that is the leader is there because they have pushed and they have done. And they have, and it just does, it's very obvious. And yet that's not what the Bible teaches. And so we want to talk about this a little bit. The world obviously says power equals exaltation, brings you up, and you're exalted. And in truly, in the world, it does seem to be this way. And I think this is something that is not new. You may remember Haman, who was a counselor in the days of Esther and Queen Esther. And the king had exalted him to be the grand vizier, his number one man, if you will. And yet that wasn't enough for him, because there was this Jew who refused to fall down and worship him. And on one particular occasion in chapter 5, Haman is invited to go to a banquet with the king, only the two of them, to Esther's, the queen's house. And as he's coming out, you can imagine. I mean, he is on cloud 9. Everything is wonderful. And as he comes through the gate, there's that Mordecai again, that Jew. And he refuses to honor him. And all the power, everything he has, is not enough, because this man will not give him the honor that is due him. When we look at the high priest, by the time of the coming of Jesus, the high priest was in a very special position. Not only was he the one who was the mediator between God and man, but he was also recognized as the physical ruler. The Romans were in charge, but guess who they talked to? It was that high priest. And they got to the point that it was all about them and their things. I might just mention the, quote, bishop of Rome. And this is what he began, the Pope. And you know what happened through the middle, by the time of the Middle Ages, the Pope, because of his power, was incredibly exalted. He had the power to make kings come and beg his forgiveness. And it's interesting that certainly the Pope doesn't have that same power today. And yet I think we see the power, if you will, certainly the exaltation. One of the popes just died recently. And think about, you know, it wasn't quite like Queen Elizabeth's funeral, but it was pretty close. It was up there. And he's just a man. And so we think about that, but we also want to think about even the apostles were not immune to this idea. They had the idea that Jesus was going to set up a kingdom, that he was the Messiah. He was going to be the king that was ruling. And if they're working with him, if they're with him 24/7, then they're going to be exalted as well. And in chapter 14 here, beginning at verse 46, excuse me, not 46. It's Luke chapter 9, verse 46. We're coming to chapter 14. Then a dispute rose among them, the disciples, the apostles, as to which of them would be greatest. And Mark tells us that they were on the road and they were they're walking and talking as they go. This is not a race. And so they've been talking about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by himself. And he said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you, you all will be great. If you want to be great, what do you need to do? You need to be the servant of all. And we'll come back to that in a moment, a little bit later. In Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, at verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And this is after they've just partaken of what is the Lord's Supper. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. Jesus here has to correct the disciples to help them to understand. And this is not the only place. This is the third occasion of all. In Matthew chapter 20, we are told that the mother of James and John came to Jesus. And there in verse 20, in chapter 20, verse 20 also, the mother of Zebedee's sons come to him with her sons kneeling down and asking something from him. And I mean, this was common. People ask of kings request. And he said to her, what do you wish? So she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand, on the other on your left, in your kingdom. Now that was not only their mother, but we're told in one of the other gospel accounts that James and John also ask him. And you can imagine the response of the other apostles when they heard this. But I want to make the point here that they were always also looking for who is going to be the highest, who's going to be exalted, if you will. Now let's go to chapter 14 in Luke. In Luke chapter 14, and this was our Bible in our Bible class a couple of weeks ago. But there, let's begin reading at verse 8. When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. He who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place, because that's all that's left. And the places were in places of honor. The closer you were to the head table, as we call it, the more honorable you were. And he makes the point. If you sit up too high, Jesus may come, the master may come, sorry, and say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to move. And all the seats that are left, the very bottom. And then verse 10, he said, but when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, obviously, the point of this was not that you should be honored before men. The point is the very last verse there. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But Lord, you don't understand. If I'm going to make it, if I'm going to get ahead, I have to push. I have to exalt myself. I have to set myself forward as someone very important. In chapter 18, we have a different parable, another parable. And this one also teaches that same lesson. Verse 10, beginning. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, not to God, with himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Lord, aren't you glad I'm on your side? And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but as beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Why? For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the advice, yea, the command of our Lord, that if we want to be exalted, we need to humble ourselves. And going back now to chapter 9, we want to reread a couple of the verses here. Because again, we know they're there. Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says in the last verse, verse 48, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you will be great. If we want to be great, we're going to have to be the ones who are least, who put ourselves in the place of being least. In Luke chapter 22, there again on that other occasion, that they're there. They have, as I said, there are actually only 11 of them there. They're there. They've partaken of the Lord's Supper. Jesus knows what's going to happen. And in verse 24, it says, now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And we're going to kind of just talk here about, we're going to read the other verses in just a moment. This is the same time that John records that Jesus washed their feet. And if you remember, they've partaken of the Lord's Supper, we're told. We're told here the reason that Jesus took this occasion to take his clothes off, his outer garments, to put a towel around himself, to take a bowl of water and to go around and wash all the disciples' feet. And you can imagine they are thinking, Lord, what are you doing? He's helping them to see, because he's told them at least on three occasions now, if you want to be greatest, you're going to have to humble yourself. This time he finally shows it to them. And after he gets through, he puts his clothes back on, he sits down, and he asks them, he tells them, he said, you say, you call me teacher and Lord, and that's correct because I am. If I, your master, have washed your feet, what should you do? You should be willing to wash one another's feet. He finally has to draw them a picture, as we say. And coming back here to Luke 22, where we are. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Do-gooders, if you will. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the youngest, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. Jesus here gives them the example. You should be willing to do the most menial. You should be willing to do the things that are below your dignity. You should be willing to serve others. And obviously, so the same thing there in Matthew 20:20 and 21. Jesus says, that's not mine to give. But he makes it clear that that's not their place. And I think, brethren, not only on this particular occasion that I've already talked about in John 13, when we look into Philippians chapter 2, the words of the Apostle Paul, the words given to him by the Holy Spirit, here beginning at verse 5, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And honestly, this is where I usually stop, because the point I'm making is that Christ humbled himself, and he did, even to death, even the death of the cross. But notice the verse that follows, verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now we know that Jesus was God, that Jesus, when he was in heaven, was glorified. And so this isn't necessarily quite the same with you and I, that we have to humble ourselves to become great, because Jesus was already great. But the point that is made is he humbled himself to the point of dying on the cross, and the result was that he was glorified. Again, he was given that glory and perhaps more in regard to men. That every knee should bow, that every tongue should confess him as Lord. That's what Jesus did, and that's the example that he gave us. And in Hebrews chapter 12 there at verse 1, and we're just going to read two verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, he says, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There are things that we from time to time think are just below us. Those things, those are for other people. They're not for us. And yet Jesus endured the cross, despising, making nothing of the cross. He despised that, and now he sat down at the right hand of God. Brothers and sisters, that's the example that we have from our Lord. He was willing to humble himself as far as could be. He came and lived as a man. He lived as a poor man. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He was mocked, he was blasphemed, and ultimately killed on the cross. And that's what he was willing to do for us, looking beyond the cross to the reward. And that's what we have to do. When we think about and we live in this world and we're surrounded in this world, and I don't know any of you who are in the position that you're in that dog-eat-dog corporate world anymore. But there are brothers and sisters, there are people that are. And the pressure is great. Because that's the way you have to get ahead. But brothers, sisters, that's not what God has told us is the true way. And we're going to go back to Luke 14 now. Again, verse 8. Luke 14, verse 8. When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. And as I already suggested, Jesus is not here teaching political etiquette in front of people. His point is, this is a parable to make the point. If you want to be exalted by God, you need to humble yourself. And we want to go on to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, there at verse 6. Verse 6, we read, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How do we humble ourselves? And there are many ways, but I think this is one we do overlook. How do we have to humble ourselves before God? By casting all our cares on him, relying on him in everything. And I think we, particularly in this country, have the tendency to think that, Lord, you know, I've got this one. Lord, I can handle this problem. But when I have got this problem that is huge. I need your help. Do we not really need to be willing to humble ourselves even with the little things? That's what Peter was inspired to say. And I think, brethren, there's reason behind that. If we're willing to give him the small things, that's kind of training, if you will, so that when the big thing comes along, we don't just throw our hands up in despair. So that when the big one comes along, we willingly humble ourselves. And I will acknowledge that is something that this last couple of years have made me see. You know, when you've got one arm in a sling, there's just a lot of things that are difficult to do, to be nice about it. But you know, I'm that independent person, that independent man. I'm going to do what I can do. And there's just a whole lot of times that would have just been better for me to just let Dana help me from the get-go. And that's what I've had to learn. Because it's just she's going to have to help me in the end. And it's just a whole lot easier, a whole lot quicker to do it that way. Now, brethren, that's transitory. I'm beyond that now. I still need her help. I needed it this morning. The cufflink got caught about halfway down this sleeve, and there I was, and I couldn't get this one off, and I couldn't get that one, and I couldn't move, and she was asleep, and I still had to wake her up. And I was trying my best. I mean, I got my collar done. That was kind of amazing. That's another one. But that's the way we are with God. We think those little ones, Lord, I don't need you. And the more we say, Lord, can you help me with this? Even if we think we can get it by ourselves, the better off that's going to be. The easier it's going to be for us to humble ourselves and say, Lord, that's not what I want to do. Lord, I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure what your way is really the best. So I'm going my way. That's where we begin, is to humble ourselves. And we're going to close by reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here the Apostle Paul has reminded them, these Christians in Corinth and us as well, of the things that Israel, the way they tempted God, the way they sinned, and the results. And so in verse 12 he says, let's just read verse 11 to start. "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." And here again is that "therefore," here's the conclusion, "let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Can we fall? Oh, yes. And the more we've got it all under control, the more likely we are to fall. Y'all know we have the two dogs. Well, Pepper had to get what is commonly called the cone of shame. You know, so she has this cone to keep her from licking the sore place on her foot. And Pepper is one of those, she's young. She just goes and bulls her way through. Except this cone keeps catching up everywhere. And it's terrible. And the first day, she couldn't do anything that she had done all her life. But because she couldn't see. She didn't know. But you know, about the second day, she kind of got it under control and she was doing really well. And about the fourth day, as happens to us, we get cocky. She got cocky and she got hung up everywhere. Now, why do I cite that? I know y'all love Pepper as much as we do. No. But that's the way we are, isn't it? When we think we've got it all under control, we're just kind of that bull in the china closet. And the Apostle Paul is reminding us, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We're going to sing the song.